Good evening. I have about an hour and a half's worth of notes here, so I hope you all have had supper. And we're going to start this afternoon, and as you know, I'm not a preacher by any stretch of the imagination, but Brother George asked me to do this, and I love to share God's word. And I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. We're just going to reiterate it. But what we're going to do is talk about fruit of the Spirit. What it is. And first of all, I'm going to tell you what it is not. In Galatians 5 here, acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immortality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness. That is what the fruit of the Spirit is not. And in Galatians 5:22, and I love the way the Bible says this, you know. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, first and foremost. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The most loved verse, probably, in the Bible, one of the most loved verses, you know what it is. For God so, what? Loved the world. I can't wrap my little mind around that. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. If you want to jot these things down, we're going to bounce around a little bit here. If you want to write these scriptures down, Deuteronomy 11:13, for you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord God and to serve him with all your soul. And then next verse, it goes on to say, then I will send you rain, and then I'll send the grass, and on and on. And, of course, you know, First Corinthians, the 13th chapter, I challenge you to read these verses when you get home. That's the love chapter. Going on down, I think it's verse 6, I believe. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Wow. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endure all things. And then the 13th chapter, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these, and you know what charity is? Love. And a lot of times, well, I won't say a lot of times, we are a product of how we were raised, good, bad, or indifferent. And a lot of times, our childhood hadn't been that good. But then, a lot of times we have a happy childhood, didn't we? I don't ever remember my dad saying, I love you. I knew he did. He provided for us. I never went to sleep hungry. Sometimes I woke up cold in that old house, but I knew he loved me. but I never heard it. So I challenge you, all of your loved ones, sometimes it's hard for a man to say, I love you. Harder than, I guess, a woman, I don't know. But I don't know if, I'm not a smart person. I don't know how to really say this, but sometimes we as men are vain, aren't we? And it's, I guess it's a fact of life. That's why how God made us. That's one of our human elements. But anyway, good, bad, or ugly, it's good to hear and it's good to say, I love you. And sometimes we don't always do that. And let me see, I think it's Luke 24 here. In verse 52, I believe. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually. I'm getting us ahead of myself here. Joy is our next one. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually in the temple praising God. The other day, we had a funeral to a dear friend of ours, and we can have joy at a funeral, can't we? We can have peace knowing where our loved ones are. The joy, and you know, the older I get, the more important it is to me to see him face to face. What a glorious day that'll be. What a glorious day. In Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Sometimes we don't feel like rejoicing, though, do we? But it says, in the Lord. See, that's what makes the difference. When we try to rejoice in self, that doesn't get us anywhere, does it? But rejoice in the, and it says again, I say rejoice. We can take that to the bank, can't we? And in our next one is peace. We talked a little bit about joy and peace. Peace in Romans 14:19, it says, let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. We need to build each other up. That's what it says. Huh. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, for will it be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, in the God of love, and peace will be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Wow. Patience is our next one. You ever pray for patience? Give them to me quick, Lord. Sometimes patience is not my best virtue. I want to get things done, and I get too busy. I don't have patience sometimes. But Hebrews 12:1. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. All of us, most all of us here still work, and it's a pace sometimes that you get into that It's hurry, hurry, hurry. And sometimes we get short on patience. Brother Richard, you ever do that? Anyway, in examples of patience, it's all strung out through the Bible. Abraham, Hebrews 6:15, patience. Job, James 5:11, all through the Bible, God is patient with his people. And he's also patient with us in spite of ourselves. We try to run in front of him and it doesn't work. Patience. And then it says kindness. Why should we be kind? If we've got the love of the Lord in our heart, and I snap at this guy down here, or make fun of him, or whatever, that's not bringing glory to God, is it? Kindness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. This is Mother's old Bible, and it's a study Bible. And I might as well read it now. It's got all kinds of footnotes in it, but it tells when the Holy Spirit comes to live with us, he gives each one of us gifts. And that's another sermon on gifts of the Spirit. But far more important than the gifts of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, mentioned only in this text. It describes a lifestyle that God wants developed within all Christians. See, it's not just day-to-day thing. It's a lifestyle. And, it's not a religion. It's a relationship with the Lord. First on the list is love. A Christian virtue mentioned more often in the Bible than any other. Love is more excellent than any single gift. Gifts will eventually disappear, but love lasts forever. Okay, kindness and Titus 3:4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. Kindness. And there's a lot of other little words that we can tie to these words. Perseverance is something, one of them that came out, hit me in the face a while ago when I was trying to get this all together. And perseverance is very important. It's not one of the fruit of the Spirit, but perseverance, we got to keep on keeping on, regardless of how we feel. The circumstances, you watch television and you get stressed out, and I remember, Brother John, what Rob Cook told us the other day at the funeral. People think the world is out of place, but everything is in place. God's still in control. All of these things happening doesn't take him by surprise. Going on with faithfulness, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation take you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation almost make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. There's nothing that you and the Lord can't do. And we need him right beside us all the time. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Yes. And then gentleness and kindness is kind of tied together. You can't probably have one without the other. And like I said, there's a lot of words in the vocabulary that are laced to these words. And kindness and gentleness is something that go hand in hand. Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. Uh-oh, there's another one. It says humbleness of mind. Whoa. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. And we sometimes think of the word meek as being weak, but it's not at all. Not at all. Self-control. 1 Peter 5:8. It says to be sober. Now, does that mean to go around with a frown on your face all the time, or not get drunk, or what does that mean? I wonder. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, sometimes we forget about that. But if the devil can inject one speck of doubt in your mind about God, about your spouse, about your loved ones, about your church, whoever, he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. And then you go home and you think about that, and then you start worrying about it, and one thing calls for another, and you don't realize just how shrewd the devil is. And that is why it is so important to walk in the Spirit. All of these things that we have talked about are hard to do. It doesn't come easy sometimes. We have to be on our toes all the time. We have to be like the boxer, you know, we throw up our guard. Because you're going down the road and somebody cuts you off and you go, ooh, tempers flare, patience. And you've done it all the time when you're driving. People pull out in front of you, cut you off, pass you, and then turn left. Put the brake on, turn left. I mean, and a friend of mine, years ago, he said, cut him some slack. Well, sometimes I don't want to do that. I don't want to cut him any slack. I want to get even. And the old devil, it's like I don't know if you've ever boiled lead, but the impurities come to the top. And you rake it off, and when you, I never have made any bullets, but I've melted lead as a kid, but all those impurities come to the top. And sometimes tempers flare. And it is so important to live with love first, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's been books written on each one of these, and we could spend the whole time on just one of these. You know, sermons have been preached on each one of these. But if we could just live with the fruit of the Spirit, just think what kind of world that would be. But that's not, even with the other day in our prayer meeting, Brother George was talking about he'd been to Israel, and the guy that was showing him around was a non-believing Jew. And he showed him the tomb where the Lord was for 3 days. And we read about the people that saw him, and they still didn't believe. So anyway, it's time probably. My half hour is gone, I'd say. But let's have a word of prayer, can we? Father, as we bow before you, Lord, we do thank you for the bread of life. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study and read about the fruit of the Spirit. We know, Father, that we can't always live in the fruit of the Spirit, but we strive to. We all are sinners, Lord, but help us, each one of us, to strive to do your will, to have the love in our heart, to minister to others when sometimes we don't feel like ministering. Sometimes we don't feel like studying your word. Father, help us with them thoughts, the negative thoughts and the things that we don't do and we do, like Paul said. But Father, I thank you for the opportunity you give me to share your word. Lord, we continue to pray for Brother George and his family. Father, you know the situation in Louisiana and all through the Northeast and out West and all the things that's happening in the world. Father, we know that it's an upside-down world we're living in. But, Lord, we know you're still in control. So, Father, we look to you for guidance and strength and courage and discernment and all the things that that you provide us with. Father, the very breath of air you give us, Father, we take that for granted too. Lord, as we dismiss, I pray a special blessing on each one here. I pray for the ones that are not here, each visitor that comes through these doors, each member, each family that's represented here. I pray a special blessing on them. Father, forgive us of our shortcomings and where we fail you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.